down from generation to generation. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary adds this: the divine name Yahweh is usually translated as Lord, a capital L and small letters O-R-D, in English versions of the Bible, because it became a practice in the late Old Testament Judaism not to pronounce the sacred name YHWH, but to say instead, my Lord, Adonai, a practice still used in the synagogues today. When the vowels from Adonai were attached to YHWH, in the medieval period, they came up with the word Jehovah, which again, that's man's concoction. Today, many Christians use the word Jehovah or Yahweh or Yahweh, which probably is more close and akin to the original pronunciation. But we do not know. There is not a human being on earth that knows how to pronounce YHWH or YHVH. It says many Christians use the word Yahweh and the more original pronunciation, not hesitating the name, the divine name, since Jesus taught believers to speak in a familiar way to God. In Acts 4 and verse 12, we find a statement by Luke, which is certainly one of the major doctrines of our church and foundation. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What name? Is it Christos? Is it the Old Testament version of Lord? What name is it? Are all names really that important to God? Yes, they are. Names are very, very important to God. The Bible places a great deal of emphasis on the significance of names. When someone comes in another person's name, he or she acts in or through or by their authority, just like ambassadors to different nations act by the authority of the nation, of the government that they represent. God changed the names of some of the Old Testament patriarchs in order to reflect their true nature of what they were, and yet he did not change their name into another language. He changed their name into the same language. Abram's name was changed in Hebrew to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. Jacob's name, which meant supplanter, was changed to Israel, which means prevailer with God. But both were changed within their native tongue, not into a different language. The son came in his father's name, as is mentioned many times in the New Testament. And what is that name? Unless you too bear the name of God, of our Heavenly Father, then we are not his son and we're not an heir, because we do have to bear that name. Is it a sin to use the name God, G-O-D? Is it a sin to use the name Jesus Christ, or to call his people, the church of God? Is the true name of our Heavenly Father, the Hebrew Tetragrammaton, is what it's called, YHWH in English? Is that the only name that we can use? Must we use YHWH instead of God, or instead of Christ, or instead of Jesus when addressing him or speaking in public his name? Just as the original New Testament books were written in Greek with the exception of perhaps Matthew and Hebrews, the Old Testament original books were almost all written in Hebrew, although there's exceptions to that that I'll mention later. According to the church historian history by Eusebius, in book 6 and chapter 14, we read, the epistle to the Hebrews is the work of Paul, and it was written to the Hebrews in the Hebrew language. But Luke translated it carefully and published it for the Greeks, and hence the same style of expression is found in this epistle as it is in the Acts. And history does show that in order for Paul to influence the religious sensitive Jews, Paul wrote his letter, undoubtedly, in Hebrew to the Hebrews. But it was inspired by God to be translated into Greek. Luke's translation is the one that God inspired, God breathed, and preserved for us today, not the original Hebrew. The Hebrew version is lost. We actually have no, quote, original writings of the apostles. All of it has been taken from that and passed down and passed down and so forth. And I'll mention in a little bit, but there are about 13,000 manuscripts that they call on to translate the Bible. Eusebius also records for us in chapter 25, book 6, that the first gospel, Matthew, says, among the four gospels, which are the only disputable ones in the church of God under heaven, in other words, there's no other gospel, he wrote, the first was published by Matthew, who was once a publican and afterwards an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it was prepared for the converts from Judaism and published in the Hebrew language. We don't know for certain that it was published in the Hebrew language, but it is possible. Jerome tells us in his writing, The Lives of Illustrious Men, in chapter 3, that Matthew's gospel was translated into the Greek language for the whole church. This Greek version is the one that has been inspired to be preserved and canonized for us today. According to F.F. Bruce's book, The Books and the Parchment, the Aramaic version of the Bible, which we have today, is admittedly a translation from the Greek, despite what some erroneously and mistakenly claim. They actually, Christ and the apostles probably spoke Aramaic, the common tongue and language. I'm sure Christ knew Greek because that was the language of business during that day, and he was a carpenter. It is simple to prove that Aramaic is not the original language that is preserved for us today. Notice Mark 15 and verse 34. In English it says, and at the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that is in Arabic, and so he translates it into Greek to show what Christ said and what it meant. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if you look carefully at the last half of verse 34, it proves that Mark, which was probably the first of the four gospels actually that were written, was writing this gospel, including the final words of Jesus, from the final words that he said, and he wrote them down in Arabic, just as Jesus Christ said them. But then he translated it because the Greeks would not know the Arabic and could not speak it. And so these words were recorded in a different language than the one that Jesus spoke. Jesus' own words are quoted from the Aramaic, which he spoke to his disciples, but is translated into Greek. If Aramaic was the original language of the New Testament, then there would have been no need to insert the Aramaic words into the text, as the Aramaic-speaking people would see the words there and they'd know what it meant. They wouldn't have any question about it. But the comment found in the King James Version, which is being interpreted, quote unquote, would not have been necessary. The Arabic New Testament repeats the Greek words exactly. This proves, among other proofs, that Aramaic could not have been the original language of the New Testament. Aramaic words are quoted commonly translated into Greek in the New Testament for Greek-speaking peoples. In most cases, those Aramaic words are then translated from the Greek back into Arabic for the Arabic New Testament, not from the original Aramaic. In John 1 and verse 41, we find that the Greek-speaking audience were not generally familiar with the meaning of the Hebrew word Messias, which meant the anointed. Messiah is the Greek spelling of the Hebrew word Messias, and most Greeks were not familiar with that word, so John translated it into Greek, the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find several names for God. They contain many names for our Creator. Some individuals and groups have insisted that the Creator's one and only true name is the Hebrew Tetragrammaton YHWH, and that it is the only name that we have to use in referring to our Creator. This argument focuses on the English word Lord used in the Old Testament for YHWH. The other names of God which occur in the Old Testament and the New Testament are not just titles, as sometimes is alleged by these groups. God was also known by names previous to when he revealed the YHWH. Notice Exodus 3 and verse 15. Moreover, God, Elohim, or Elohim, said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, YHWH, God, Elohim, of your fathers, the God, Elohim, of Abraham, the God, Elohim, of Isaac, and the God, Elohim, of Jacob, had sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." So when he revealed himself as YHWH, however that's pronounced, to Moses, we find that it was a name and not just a title. Notice Exodus 6 and verse 3. Exodus 6 and verse 3. God, Elohim, spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord," YHWH. "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God, El, Almighty Shaddai," or Shaddai. "But by my name, Lord," YHWH, "I was not known to them." So God tells Moses that he was not known by the name YHWH, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by the name El Shaddai, or El Shaddi, or El Shaddai. So if we refer to God by his name, perhaps we should use the first name, the covenant name by which he himself became known to our covenant father, Abraham. But it is through the lineage of Abraham, through Christ, of course, that the ultimate blessings do flow to us. And if we only address God by YHWH or YHVH, I guess Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not be saved and will not be in God's kingdom because they never knew the name YHWH. It had not been revealed to them. They knew Elohim, but they also knew the name El Shaddai, or El Shaddai, as is proven in Exodus 3 and verse 15. When we look at the verse, Hebrew word by word, the name for God in this verse is Elohim throughout, although the word Lord, L-O-R-D in all caps, in the verse in Hebrews is the Hebrew word YHWH. If it is required, they did not properly address God as YHWH. So clearly, El Shaddai is not the only name that we should refer to God either. He had many names. I mentioned earlier in the Old Testament was almost all written in Hebrew. But there are some portions that of the Old Testament that are written in Arabic and a little bit of Chaldean. In Daniel 2 and verse 4, on through chapter 7 and verse 28, Ezra 4 and verse 8 through chapter 6 and verse 18, and Ezra 7 verses 12 through 26, and perhaps other places. But nowhere in these portions of Arabic do we find the word for the deity of God as YHVH or YHWH. But instead, we find the Arabic form of Ella or Elion, as it appears in those passages. We find that by the time that the language of the Israelite people, they spoke Arabic. And so we find God called by his Arabic names of Ella, or Eloah, or Leah. And the words Elohim, or YHWH, were no longer used as frequently. Again, in the New Testament, we have many passages such as Mark 9 and verse 39, where it says, "And Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." It's most likely, as I said, that the spoken language was Arabic most of the time. And Jesus does say that those that did miracles in his name, being the Arabic form of it, someone who at that time who verbalized the pronunciation, however it is, of YHVH, in that time in history they would have been arrested, they would have been tried, and more than likely they would have been put to death by order of the Sanhedrin, which backed up and supported when the Romans carried it out, as it was in the case of Christ. It was the Sanhedrin who betrayed Christ, and it was the Romans who actually wound up murdering him. How is it possible that God would perform miracles in this undoubtedly Arabic name if he only honors the Hebrew name of YHVH? Would Christ have allowed such a thing in the name that honors the Hebrew name YHWH? Would he have allowed his and other than YHWH? Or would the Father back up and support such a thing if God did not want to be honored and called by any other name than YHWH? This example is repeated a number of times in the New Testament. We talked about Arabic, but what about the Hebrew language itself? The Old Testament was preserved for centuries, consisted only of consonants. Though semi-consonants were used to indicate certain long vowels. We do not know how to pronounce a word if it does not have at least one vowel in it. And so we can't pronounce it, and the exact pronunciation of the words with their vowels was preserved only by oral usage. In other words, it was passed down from one generation to another generation and so forth. The vowel sounds were not written down until somewhere around the 6th or 7th century after the death of Christ. At that time, the Jewish scholars of the day, known as the, they actually pronounce it Masoretes, I've always heard it pronounced the Masoretes. Masoretes created symbols to represent vowels that they were using by oral tradition. They added these symbols or points to the text of the Old Testament, which only contained consonants until that time. Unfortunately for us, the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, the name of the Creator, ceased to be pronounced by the Jews as being far too sacred to be uttered by a human being. And this was long before the Masoretes put the vowel points in. So this was never received vowels, so to speak, when it was known how it was pronounced. Whenever the Jews recite the text in Hebrew, Old Testament, orally, they substitute the word YADX or Adonai, which is Lord in English. King James Version uses LORD in all caps for YHWH. Sometimes the Jews recite the MYHLX or Elohim instead of the HWHOY or YHWH. This practice began long before the time of Jesus Christ. The original vowel points for YHWH are not found in the text. Later on, the Masoretes or whatever they, and whenever they encountered the word YHWH, they inserted vowel points for Adonai or Elohim into the word YHWH. This gave the synagogue reader or readers of the text a clue to pronounce either Adonai or Elohim instead of YHWH, because again they felt it was so sacred that if anyone ever pronounced the name, they would be put to death. Yet later, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, the Catholic Church, under the influence of Pope Leo's the 10th's confessor, Peter Gatlin, without a complete understanding of the Hebrew language and text, took the consonants YHWH and combined it with the vowel points of Adonai and made up what is formed Jehovah. Now, where he got that or what authority that is, I have no idea. Apparently, Peter Gallatin was followed in this use of this hybrid form by Phigaeus as well. But it seems that even before Gallatin, the name Jehovah had been in common use for some time. It is found in Raymond's Martin's Pugio Fedeli, and Jehovah, which was written in 1270 A.D. from the Jewish Encyclopedia. Most Hebrew scholars today will admit that we do not know the exact vowel sounds and pronunciation of YHWH. It's not certain. Even the consonants are not certain. Sometimes it's translated as YHVH, YHWH, or JHVH. All of them can be possible. And if someone tells you that they know how it is pronounced, I think we need to ask the question, how did you make that random decision? Because nobody today knows the proper pronunciation. Most feel that Yahweh or Yahweh is a close, maybe, approximation of how the word perhaps was announced. But until Christ returns, we're not going to know exactly how it was pronounced. This Yahweh is based upon a transliteration into the Greek by some early church fathers several centuries after the New Testament was written. Other scholars disagree with this, and they feel that it should be pronounced Yahoh or Yahoh or Yehu. But again, we don't know. There's no way to know. The Bible uses several names for God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but specifically in the Old Testament, He is known, I'm going to say the word Yahweh, and that's probably not the correct pronunciation. Yahweh Jireel, which is a name translated, the Lord will provide, commemorating the provision of the ram for Isaac as Abraham's sacrifice in Genesis 22. Yahweh Nissi, the name means the Lord is my banner, in honor of God's defeat of the Amalekites in Exodus 17. Yahweh Shalom, which is a plural term, and it means the Lord is peace, the name that Gideon gave after he built the altar in Ophrah. Yahweh Shammai, this phrase expresses the truth that the Lord is there, referring to the city where the prophet Ezekiel saw the vision in Ezekiel 48. Yahweh Teshboth, this name translated the Lord of hosts, was used in the days of David and of the prophets, witnessing to God the Savior, who is surrounded by a host of heavenly power. And Yahweh Elohim, Israel. This name means the Lord God of Israel, and it appears in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the Psalms. Other names similar to this are Nesta, Israel, the strength of Israel, and Abrar, Yisrael, the mighty one of Israel. YHWH is just one of many names that is used for God in the Old Testament. Its exact meaning, and certainly like the exact pronunciation, has been lost. We don't know for sure what it means. It apparently is derived from the Hebrew root word, which means to be or to exist. That He is the self-existing one. Perhaps the most understandable way that we can comprehend and understand it is the translation, the eternal, because he's always lived and he will always live. Genesis 21, verse 33 equates YHWH with the, quote, everlasting God. Many other names are reflected in God's character or attributes that are found in the scriptures, showing they are all appropriate. Some names of God, titles or positions and authority, and others are names that he takes to himself. He is called the Ancient of Days. He's called the Most High, the Redeemer, the Creator, the Father, Savior, Lord, and King, among many other names that he has. Another important name is Elohim, which is typically used to convey the sense of the one supreme being who is the only one true God. It is commonly written in many translations simply as God, G-O-D. What name should we use? The direction, I think, that to find out what name we should use ends with Christ. It should be very clear and very simple when we see how Christ pronounced it, what he said, and what he did, and how he used it. As noticed, as we mentioned above, he used the name for God commonly that was understood by his audience. He used the name God in their own language, not just in Old Testament Hebrew. Jesus' example should put really the question to rest. God inspired all of the writers of the Bible to do the same as Jesus did, using words for God that their readers would understand in their own language. The original text of the Bible contains only the Hebrew and Greek, but there is Chaldean and there's Aramaic in the Bible. Remember Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, where it says that there were 16 different nationalities, 16 different languages and peoples that were there, and it said everyone heard them speak in his own language. And when you read that, you find that the name of God is mentioned, that Peter stood up and he said, you know, these men are not drunk, and you hear in their language and the name of God and whatever, the name of Christ. And so they said that everyone heard them speak in his own language. Look at some more names of God and see if the word God in English comes from pagan sources, which is claimed by many, because they say that our, quote, G-O-D, God, comes from paganism. Do you realize that perhaps the true pronunciation of God's name would be lost and foretold? Notice Jeremiah 23 and verse 25 through 27. Jeremiah 23 and verse 25 through 27. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as the fathers forgot my name for Baal. The Jews in Jeremiah's time understood the pronunciation of YHWH. But the dreams that their false prophets, that the false teachers, misled them into believing that YHWH should not be pronounced, that it was sinful because we're sinful and we cannot pronounce such a holy, righteous name. And They felt like it was just too holy of a word to be uttered. So they stopped using it. And after the centuries, the true pronunciation was lost. But Jesus Christ, when he returns, of course, will restore all things. And perhaps YHWH is part of the pure language that we're going to have. I don't know. If some are so concerned about exact pronunciation, they would need to know exactly how the Creator pronounced it to Moses when he introduced himself to him. Even Ezra, who edited and compiled Moses' work later, would have only had oral tradition as his source for pronouncing Moses's what Moses wrote. Even today, Jews in different parts of the world have different pronunciations for the Hebrew vowels and even some consonants. In Judges 12 and verse 6 indicates that there were variations in the dialect at the time between the Nile and the Euphrates, where they would ask an individual to say Sibboleth, and all the Ephraimites would say Sibboleth. And they killed, 40,000 of them because they couldn't pronounce it right? And so, obviously, you know, it was something very, very serious. But it shows that they had different pronunciations. That's just like Northerners come down here and we make fun of them, and they go back home and make fun of us. That, well, I couldn't understand a word they said. I was in New York one time, my wife and I and my dad and stepmother, and I don't think I understood a word the whole time that we were there. And we finally made a joke out of it. But I just could not understand what they were saying at all. If Yahweh has to be used as a creator, or it is a requirement for salvation, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not be in the kingdom of God. According to Exodus 6 and verse 2 and 3, as we read, and Elohim, God, spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, Yahweh, or YHWH, I was not known to them. So the Creator plainly says that he was not known by that name prior to the time of Moses. It appears that the name YHGH was not known at all before Moses. So if pronouncing the name is that important and to do it properly and necessary for salvation and so forth, then Enoch, righteous Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and any other prior to Moses' time would not be able to make it into God's kingdom, nor will anyone in our time, because no one on earth knows how to properly pronounce the name. If the name YHWH was known in the Hebrew society before Moses, you would think you would expect to find some personal names or individuals that had that part of their name. We do find only El Shaddai or El or Shaddai and so forth that's used. And there's some examples here. Genesis 5 and verse 12, Genesis 10 and verse 28, and others that are listed. No names using YAHO or YAHWO are YAHU or any derivative of YHWH are found before Moses' time. And if we study the Bible carefully, we find then that the Creator has many names. He has many titles. He has many authorities. And that there is no restriction or command to not translate the names into other languages. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to use only the Hebrew tetragrammaton, a form of his name. In fact, we're given many positive examples of these names and titles being translated into other languages. There are portions of the Old Testament where Arabic is the original language rather than Hebrew, as I mentioned in Daniel 2, verse 4, through Daniel 7 and verse 28, and Ezra 4 and verse 8, through Ezra 6 and verse 18, and Ezra 7, verses 12 through 26. Nowhere in this portion of Arabic do we find the Hebrew words for the deity, the grammateraton, but instead we find the Arabic form of Allah. If we examine the New Testament, you find a similar story there. No Hebrew names of God are found anywhere in the New Testament. The Greek term theos, which is translated God, and kurios, which is translated Lord, are used. When quotes are made from the Old Testament in the New Testament, the word kurios is substituted for what would have been YHWH in the Old Testament. An example would be Matthew 3 and verse 3, which is quoted from Isaiah 40 and verse 3. But it is in the Greek in the New Testament, and they quote from Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Unfortunately, there are some who present convincing arguments that the New Testament is corrupted. Therefore, it's unreliable. That would scare me, to be honest, to say that the New Testament was corrupted. But they do. They think that some scholars got in and they changed all of the translations and took the name of God out because we can only use that name. And I heard an individual reading from the New Testament, and every time he came across the name of God, he said Jehovah. But that's not what it says in the New Testament. It says Theos or Christos. And so I kind of cringed because I thought, man, you're really changing the Word of God. If what they claim could happen, which it couldn't, we have over 5,000 Hebrew manuscripts, and we have another 8,000 that have been translated into Latin. And so 13,000 plus manuscripts all around the world. They're not all in one location. They're not all found in the Holy Land. They're scattered throughout the world. And it would have taken a monumental task to take all 13,000 of these manuscripts and remove the name of God from it. It certainly would have been a task that would not have been possible humanly without the aid perhaps of a computer, which they did not have, because then they'd have to gather all of the manuscripts from all of the places in the earth and substitute the Greek kurinos, meaning Lord, or theos, meaning God, in its place. People that preach this doctrine must think that God is awfully, awfully weak, because he was powerless to preserve his holy name in the New Testament. And apparently Christ was powerless as well to be able to control it. Kurios occurs 665 times in the New Testament. And theos occurs 1,345 times in the New Testament. The word YHWH does not appear even one time in the New Testament. Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away," in Matthew 24 and verse 35. And if he said this and it was his intent that YHWH word was so important, it would have been allowed to be remained in the text of the New Testament. God's word, the Bible, has not been tampered with in that way. It has been tampered with some, but not changed in that way in this one area. There are plenty of manuscripts showing the correct rendering elsewhere. Satan would like for people to believe that the New Testament is and has been corrupted so that he can eventually destroy their faith in the everlasting God and everything else that God has revealed through it. We also find that the Apostle Paul spoke Hebrew, and yet in all 14 of his books, he doesn't use the Hebrew Tetragrammaton, YHWH, a single time. The Apostle Peter used the Greek forms for the name Jesus Christ. In Acts 4, in verses 10 through 12, says salvation is only through the name Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Yeshua, or Yeshua, is not used here at all. The Holy Spirit inspired these words to be written in Greek, not Hebrew or Aramaic. God's word nowhere says that it's wrong for people to read the Bible, which includes the name of their Creator, in their own language. Nor is it wrong for them to refer to the Creator in their own language, in preaching or praying or in any other way. Salvation is not based upon a secret or mystery word or pronunciation. YHWH means self-existent one, or the everlasting one, some translated, as I mentioned, as eternal. Peter healed a cripple by commanding him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to rise up and walk. There is authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether the name is in Greek, whether it's in English, or whether it's in Hebrew or any other language, there is power in that name. People were healed, demons were cast out in his name. Jesus spoke Aramaic and probably Greek, because like I said, he was a carpenter, and Greek was the business language of that day. And I suspect if he needed to know any other language, he wouldn't have had any difficulty in doing so, either by education or by divine miracle. The apostles were inspired to record his word and his actions in Greek. Christians are baptized into his name and carry on the preaching of the gospel today by the authority of his name. They have the Holy Spirit to accomplish his will. All that our Heavenly Father has done in the church today would not be possible if his people and the leaders were failing to pronounce his name correctly in Hebrew, if such was a requirement for respect, for salvation, and for pleasing God. Jesus said that he came in the world to reveal the name of the Father to his followers. Yet in all that the apostles wrote of Jesus in the New Testament, again, we find no trace of any reference to the Hebrew word YHWH. Jesus revealed the way of life to his disciples that the Father would have been pleased for them to lead and nothing is said about using the tetragrammaton. Christ said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now, is the English word God come from paganism? Some sacred names groups contend that we use the word God, that it's a sin to do so. The reasoning is because the word God was used by our ancestors in reference to idols, it should not be used today in referring to our Creator and Heavenly Father. Look at Romans 1 and verse 21 through 23. "Because although they knew God, Theos, they did not glorify him as God, Theos, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, Theos, into the image made by corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Notice verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God, Theos, in their knowledge," the word, the world once knew the true God, but they changed his glory into images and idols. They put the name of their Creator on these idols. And it's illustrated throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. The Hebrew word Elohim, which has a couple of meanings, it can mean gods, plural, or the kingdom of God, or the God family. It's used 240 times to refer to idols and pagan gods in the Old Testament. In two places, it's actually translated goddess. But the Hebrew word El is translated once as idol and 15 times as God, small g, and refers to pagan gods. The Hebrew word Eloho is used 5 times to refer to heathen gods. Ezra and Nehemiah were inspired to use Arabic word Ella 16 times to refer to pagan gods of the Aramaic-speaking people. And considering these things, along with some logic, that the Sacred Names Group used to say that the word God is pagan and sinful simply because our ancestors used it to refer to pagan gods, it would have been sinful to use any of the above Hebrew names for our Creator. And yet God allowed his prophets in the Old Testament to use the very same Hebrew words for both himself and for pagan idols. We should also consider that although the Babylonians had a god named Baal-Gwad, it's pronounced like G-A-W-D, but it's G-A-D, this does not mean that our word God is derived from that source. The term God in ancient Anglo-Saxon comes from the word good, or as it is today in German, gut. Like Germans say, das schmeckt sehr gut, which is that tastes real good, which is our lunch today. The term actually comes from the Hebrew word G-U-W-D, pronounced good, when Israel went into captivity to the Assyrians, both Israel and the Assyrians used this word in their languages. Baal-Gwad, or God, or Gad, does not come from the same source as G-A-W-D, G-U-W-D, or good. Even though they might sound similar, they are not connected and do not have the same logistic roots. Other names in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament was inspired to translate the Hebrew word YHWH into the Greek word for theos. The other words for the Creator used in the New Testament are the Greek for logos, which means the word, kurios, which means Lord, Christos, meaning Christ, or an anointed one, and Jesus means Jesus. But nowhere in the New Testament, nor in any manuscripts of the New Testament, do we have the Hebrew word YHWH for God appearing. Some claim that the Greek word meaning Jesus comes from the pagan Greek god of Zeus, and that's an error. The Greek word Zeus and the Roman word Jove are both ultimately taken from and derived from the Hebrew YHWH or JHVH. So that really shoots the sacred name doctrine in the head, because they erroneously claim that the opposite is what took place. The Greeks and other pagans did not like to retain God in their knowledge, as we read previously. They took the names of God and they attached them to their pagan gods. And of course, and their idols and so forth. Of course, we already know that the ancient Hebrew-speaking people also did the same thing by calling their idols El, or Baal, or Baal. Some were simply called the Elohim. The name Jesus, Jesus, may very well be derived from YHWH. It's interesting that the Greeks were very, very concerned about how their primary god, Zeus, was addressed. He had 53 different names for Zeus, and it had to be mentioned. All 53 had to be mentioned when praying to him, or he would not respond to their prayers. And so when you prayed to Zeus, you had to use all 53 of his names. Getting the name just right seemed to have been very, very important to them in paganism. I wonder if that's why it's, quote, important today for some. Jesus declared himself as being the Son of God. John 10 and verse 36. 12 times the New Testament, the name for the church is stated, the Church of God, Theos. Jesus prayed that the Father would keep those whom he had given him, given to Jesus, in the Father's name. The Father's family name was and is, in English, God. In Greek, it's Theos. In Hebrew, there was a number of names, but let's just say it was YHWH. Jesus called himself the Son of God, Theos, a number of times in the New Testament. He said that he came to the earth in his Father's name many, many times. So before we accept theories of something that is labeled as, quote, sin, end quote, to use anything but the Hebrew word YHWH, or that salvation is only possible through the correct use of one name, we need to recognize the overwhelming evidence that is contained in both the Old and the New Testament to the contrary. How can the entire New Testament be totally, completely ignored? Not one time does YHWH, YHVH, or JHVH appear in the New Testament, not one single time. Thank you for staying. I hope that wasn't too boring. I realize